G'day, good life. My name is Esther, for those of you who don't know me, and here is one of my favourite scriptures.
This reading is from James chapter 1, verse 22 to 27. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion is the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the word corrupt you.
Thank you, Minty. As you guys have just heard read by my beautiful niece, the passage that I want to talk to you guys about today is from James chapter 1. And I've got the privilege of sharing with you guys the way that this passage has shaped me over a number of years and what it has meant to me through many seasons of my life. Growing up in a home where we regularly read the Bible together, I was familiar with this passage of scripture. I kind of looked at it as a little bit of a roadmap of what it was to be a good, authentic, God-fearing Christian girl. Learn the word, commit to it, watch your tongue, don't get corrupted by the world, look after the orphans and the widows in their distress, or as the message talks about them, the homeless and the loveless. I didn't really know what that meant in action, but to some degree, I kind of figured it meant put your money where your mouth is. If you're going to be a Christian, be authentic about it. Follow word with action. Don't just read the Bible, but do what it says. And something about this really challenged the adventurer in me. I thought about, the idea of the orphan and the widow, the homeless and the loveless as something that really met me in my desire to be authentic in my faith, to really be in the guts of where desperation existed and to see word in action. I wanted to walk the walk and I wanted to do this in the farthest reaches of the world. It was when I finished school at the age of 17 and I took a trip to Nepal with some of my friends that this scripture in James really grew its legs for me. I visited a leprosy hospital in Pokhara, where I met a beautiful old woman who, I guess, was the face at the other end of that scriptural commission. Here was a woman whose life, whose physical appearance had been altered by an ancient disease of biblical parables. Leprosy had taken both her hands, both her feet, her nose, and most of her eyesight. But more than that, it had taken away her place of value and belonging in a society and a culture that rendered her useless and cast out because of this physical affliction. She'd sought help from this hospital or this organization for her physical needs, but in doing so, she became part of a community that was living out God's love in action, and through that, she encountered hope. It was hands-on help that resulted in hope. As I looked in this woman's face, she spoke of hope. She spoke of being valued. She spoke of not only being worthy, but also being seen as truly beautiful in the sight of God. And her face was radiant with it. I saw the fruit of James chapter 1 etched into the face that was scarred by pain, hurt, rejection, but glowing with hope, radiant with value. I wanted to be part of it. I wanted to be part of that arresting transformation that I saw embodied in this beautiful woman. I guess James chapter 1 at that point transformed in me from something that I was being commanded to do as a good Christian girl, as something that was a duty or an obligation, into something that I wanted so badly for my life to be about. I wanted to be someone who looked into the perfect Word of God and came out transformed. I wanted my faith to be marked by action. I wanted to be authentic and genuine. And if that meant taking me to the furthest reaches of the world, I wanted to be about it. I wanted to be living out that pure, genuine religion in the sight of God that saw those like this beautiful woman in Nepal redeemed and restored into hope and value. I came home from Nepal and I enrolled in nursing school. I began carving out a career that would place me right in the thick of hurting, of vulnerable people, of people who are experiencing pain. Not only that, I wanted a career that would give me a passport or access into those parts of the world where I could meet the people who James chapter 1 I thought was talking about, the homeless, the loveless, the orphan and the widow. Over the years, I studied, I worked, I travelled far and wide, driven by this desire to engage, to be part of this beautiful commission, to be part of the work of bringing hope and restoration to people that maybe felt unseen by society, and to try and shine that light of hope into their lives that I had seen transform the woman that I had met in Nepal all those years earlier. And yet, as I poured my energies into being in the thick of the plight, as it were, I was confronted over and over again by my own insufficiencies. No matter how much I tried, no matter where I worked, how much I learned, I threw myself into studying and becoming more and more equipped, more tools in my belt. I struggled with this call. Every time I was met with the limitations of my own capacity, when hope was hard to grasp and where injustice, I was always assured of the virtue of this scriptural foundation. There was no doubt in my mind that God is about us being in those spaces with the homeless and the loveless, the voiceless and the oppressed. But I was really confronted, and I found it difficult to connect with the reality of our call when all efforts barely even seem to make a blip on the radar of a world that is just so broken. The hurt of the world can sometimes feel really suffocating, and the call to act can be overwhelming. Sometimes it's hard to even know where to begin. And I started to wonder whether there was actually more to James chapter 1, that last little bit, than simply just a call to arms. Maybe it was about understanding the character and love of God better in that space. I've asked my friend Craig to share a really precious song with us all this morning, and I'm so thankful that he is doing so. It's a song that has been close to my heart and to so many others in our community through those times of feeling a bit overwhelmed by the injustices of the world for those around us and for people on a global scale. So I hope that you guys will engage with the words behind this song and the heart behind it too. And then I'm going to come back and share a little more with you. So thank you so much, Craig.
Circumstances beyond my understanding, be exalted, glorified for who you are. I'll praise you for by this life you saved me. I won't define you by my days, they fade away, and only love will remain. Only love. When I'm surrounded by my fear, and even doubting you are near, Lord, be exalted, be exalted. When it's pain and circumstances still beyond my understanding, be exalted, glorified.
As I wrestled with the tension of a call that continued to place me right in the thick of injustice, I met more people storm-beaten and battered by circumstances beyond their control. And in spite of my insufficiencies in being able to fix things, I had the honour of a life that intersected with the lives of people who taught me so much about tears of desperation, about faith, about perseverance, about justice and resilience and hope in the face of battle. But most of all, I learned about seeing the heart of God residing in some of the darkest of places. Beauty and pain side by side, and an invitation into something that felt so much bigger than me. And it was in this wrestle that I was reminded of the words of an Old Testament prophet named Isaiah. And I'm going to sneak in another one of my favourite scriptures at this point.
Isaiah 58, verse 6 to 10. No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free. And remove the chains that bind people. Share your food to the hungry. And give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from your relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then, when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here, he will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your fingers and spreading vicious rumors, and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be bright as noon.
Thank you for sharing that. Another one of my favourite scriptures from one of my all-time favourite people. The passage in Isaiah that was brought to mind in the midst of all of this wrestle for me talks about a true fast. Again, a call to action that resonates the theme of James chapter 1. But it takes a different turn for me here, and this is where it felt like there was a shift that happened in me. Maybe pure and genuine religion that is spoken of in James, and maybe the true fast of Isaiah, extends beyond something that I was just called to do, but into a precious space that I was actually being invited into. Perhaps we meet the Lord in those dark, forgotten spaces, in the quietness of stifled voices, where God resides right in the midst of the brokenhearted, those he cares so deeply about, inviting us to experience him through the love of others, and maybe knowing him better as we see him reflected in the faces of his creation. This call to engage actually speaks to me about the character of God, who is near to the brokenhearted, who is right there in the thick of injustice, who is close to the downtrodden, to those without hope and those who the world seems to have forgotten or cast aside. And he invites us to be part of that, to be part of the work of his upside down kingdom, where the first shall be last and the last get to be first. And what a privilege it is to be part of that kingdom business. I don't have the answers for the pain and injustice that seems to prevail in the world, but what I cling to in these favourite verses that we've looked at today is a God who is right with us in the thick of it, whose word actually says that he is near to the brokenhearted, and he invites us to participate in love, in action, in hands-on help that leads to hope. And in the words of Victor Hugo in one of my all-time favourite pieces of work, Les Mis, to love another person is to see the face of God. In all this, I hope that you, just as I have been, are challenged by what it is to seek the heartbeat of the Lord as he calls us to love in action. To have eyes to see the affliction that exists in all its forms, in our local neighbourhood, in our workplaces, and on a global scale in the furthest reaches of the world, and to really lean into that. To seek opportunities to really engage your voice, your resources, your time, your energy, to put legs on your faith and to be part of what that true and genuine religion is, that fast that is spoken of in Isaiah, to love authentically and in doing so to know God better. and to look at the Word of God and for it to become so much more than words on a page, but an invitation to engage in something that is so much bigger than ourselves. I'm going to throw back to Mark again for a minute because I'd just love you to hear his heart and some of the ways that we can connect with some of the most vulnerable people in our own community.
I think for me, it's around if you see someone that's actually homeless, look at them. Yeah, honestly, you know, just engage. Say, how you going? You know, don't have a big conversation. Just acknowledge.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of people look down to them.
Yeah.
A lot of people abuse them.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just about acknowledging. You know, hey, I see you. You know, and it's not about I'll take you home, anything like that. It's just that acknowledgement, that these people are real, they are people, and they're not just a different part of the world. They are our community, and will always be part of our community.
Yeah.
Acknowledge that they're a person, you know, and if you want to, give them a feed, ask them.
Yeah.
You know, don't assume that because they're homeless, they're actually and they need a feed.
Yeah.
You know, so they say, would you like a coffee? You know, they'll let you know.
Yeah.
Because they're not dangerous. You know, everyone thinks about homeless people as, dangerous and stuff like that. And basically, at the end of the day, they're just people that need some help to move forward in life. You know, homelessness is not a lifestyle. It's an experience. And that's why I always say it's people experiencing homelessness.
Yeah.
It's not homeless people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, these guys, given the right support, can move forward. And they all want to move forward. You know, because they don't want to be homeless.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for letting me share this week, for listening in. I hope you have an amazing week ahead and that you are ready to engage all that is put before you.